Well, the human mind is absolutely marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. Have you ever stopped to really reflect on its capacity to capture and then store momentous events that we can recall years, even decades later? For instance, I'm going to review three momentous national events. And when I do, I want you to bring to your mind where you were and what were you doing when these three events came about. The first event, we'll bring it up on the screen, is the terrorist attack on the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, 9/11, 2001. Where were you at? What were you doing? The second one, January 28, 1986. The Space Shuttle Challenger, Andrea, just had taken off. 1, 2, down to 73 seconds, and boom! And down she went, killing all 7 of our heroic astronauts. Here's one that you young people will not remember, of course. The date, November 22nd, 1963. President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, riding in that limousine in Dallas, Texas. And a man way high up with his rifle shot him and killed him. For those of you old enough, where were you at? What were you doing? You see the amazing capacity of the human mind to store, assimilate, and bring back memories. Not only national events, but also in your own personal life. I'm thinking of how we store the wonderful memories, like the day we graduated from high school, the day you graduated from college. You better not forget the day you were married, I'll tell you that. The day our firstborn child, like Ginger, our firstborn, came into this world. Pastor, I was a big bullfrog. I was so excited. I put my chest out there. That's my daughter. Big events. How about the day you were born again? I remember it. Are you ready? The place is San Anselmo, California. The pastor, Harold Bonner. It's a Sunday evening. I'm age 16. God's prevenient grace, young people, grace that goes before salvation, prevenient grace is at work in my life, all right? And that prevenient grace, young people, is making me feel miserable. Miserable. Why? Because I was quite a liar, not only to my mother and father, but to other people. Why? Because I had a foul, filthy mouth, swearing here, swearing there. Why? Because I remembered the day I went into the San Anselmo recreation restroom. Oh, I made sure no one was around. And then I went over and I picked up a big stone boulder. And in mischief, I went into that men's restroom and I smashed apart the toilet. Just broke it to shreds. Just kept breaking it and breaking it. What purpose? Who knows? Just mischief in my sinful heart. Prevenient grace, convicting me of my sin. Reminding me how I would go down to Safeway and look around, make sure there was no other person around, and I'd take those candy bars and slip them into my pocket. Oh yeah, I was a stealer. And God's grace is busy working in my heart. And pastor is preaching. Now, I do not remember what he preached on, but I do remember him giving an altar call. And Dwight, let me show you what it was like. I'm on the back pew with other teenagers. Pastor Bonner says, we're going to sing a song now and invite those of you who want to be saved to come up to the altar and pray. Watch my hands. And I'm holding on to that back pew until I look down and my knuckles are white. Do you understand me? Russell, do you understand? That pew was probably shaken like this. The power of the Holy Spirit working in my life, convicting me of my sin. Oh, I wanted to go down and be saved, but at the same time, I wanted to draw back because I kind of enjoyed sinning. And suddenly, I don't know what happened. I found myself in the middle aisle like this one, marching down toward the eye of the altar as if an invisible hand was propelling me. Can you identify with that? I don't know what was happening. I just know that someone was moving me graciously, lovingly toward the altar. I hit that altar. Pastor Bonner came up. He opened his Bible to 1 John 1:7, and he was smart enough to say this, Herb, I want you to read this verse. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful. Michael, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And something happened in this hairball boy's head. Something happened. The Holy Spirit took the Word of God, applied it to my heart. Tears began to come down on my cheeks, and I repented of my sins. You know what repentant means? In the Greek, it means metanoia. I was walking in this way, foul-mouthed, mischievous, and evil person, and I took an about-face, and I started moving in the direction of God and eternal life. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! After I prayed through, Pastor Bonner said, we're going to have a time of testimonies. Those of you Nazarenes who have been in the church a long time know that we used to do that a lot. Remember? We'd have laymen testify. And I got up and I said, folks, I believe tonight God saved me and it feels as if I've taken a spiritual shower on the inside. And I can remember distinctly. Remember now, this is 53 years ago. So you can quickly calculate how old I am. I'm an old dinosaur. This old dinosaur at 69 still loves Jesus. Amen? Still loves Jesus. 53 years ago, I can remember it. They began to laugh and rejoice with me. And what a night that was. The doors were open. I ran home. And guess what happened? As I was running home, the whole world came alive. Randy, it was as if it was radiant. It was just as if the trees of the field, their leaves were clapping for my salvation. I tell you, beloved, as I ran home, I thought, what happened? All of nature is different. Talk to me. Was nature different or was it me? Talk to me. I was different. The grace of God. You understand? Totally different. I went home. I really don't know to this day if I really opened the door to my house or just walked through it. Did a big swan dive on the bed, hugged my mother and told me, Mommy, I've been saved by the grace of God. And my mom rejoiced with me. Thank God that boy got religion. Now, that's 53 years ago. And when that occurred, I did not realize how pregnant that experience with Christ was. Hear the word. Pregnant that experience was. Today, I understand that four things happened simultaneous when I was saved. I'm going to go through them real quick. Number one, God justified me. God justified me. It has two sides. Look at this. I hold in my hand this coin. One side represents pardon of my sins. The other side of justification is God made me righteous in His sight. Do we have a scripture next? Is there a scripture to that? Romans chapter 5? Yeah. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess so. Hallelujah. Number two, I was regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't aware of it then, but I am now. What's that mean, I was regenerated? That has to do with being born again. That means that my inner spirit that was dead in sin and trespasses was recreated. It was made alive in Christ Jesus. Wonderful. Let's look at the scripture. Put that up there. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he or she is born again. Charles Wesley, the brother of John, the founder of Methodism, he writes this wonderful, wonderful poetry. Look at this. Long my imprisoned spirit lay. Long my sinful nature lay. Fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eyes diffused a quickening ray. I awoke spiritually. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose and went forth and followed thee. Hallelujah. Regeneration. Number three, adoption. At the same time, I didn't realize it. I was adopted into the family of God. Think of this. Look at the scripture coming up here. I was adopted, for you did not receive a spirit. No. That makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. And by this we call Abba, Papa in the Aramaic. Papa, Father, the Spirit Himself testifying with our spirits that we're God's children. Hallelujah. And number four, you ready for this one? I was initially made holy by God. Here's why. In Hebrews, the Bible says, without holiness, no man, no woman will see the Lord. So when you are saved, when I was saved at age 16, I was initially made holy. This refers to just the beginning process of being made spiritually holy, pure, clean. As this growth continues toward Christ-likeness, you will arrive at a spiritual crisis. The Holy Spirit will be nudging, urging, wooing you. Come on, Herb. Come on now. Go on to complete entire sanctification. Look up here. Where you fully surrender everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches and preaches entire sanctification. There's the four big ones. Happening simultaneous to a 16-year-old kneeling at an altar in San Anselmo, California. Now, let me talk to you about that. In that day and age, preachers, teachers, concerned lay people would urge others to be saved so they could go to heaven when they die and avoid hell. I need to announce that today, that's still the predominant theme among many preachers and teachers. Trying to get people to be saved so they'll go to heaven upon their death. However, this morning I want to lead us a little deeper into Scripture and show you that there's much more to salvation than make it into heaven and avoiding hell. There's some exciting dimensions about giving your life to Jesus and becoming a disciple this morning. I said this morning doing it. You see, it has to do with the kingdom of God. It has everything with you being born into the kingdom of God and not just being concerned about your eternal place, but what in the world can you do in and through Jesus today in the social structures of our world? Oh, yes, it's important to know where we're going to live eternally, but it's also important with what am I going to do with this Jesus now? Amen? What am I going to do with this relationship now in 2013? Are you aware that the core preaching and teaching of Jesus was about the kingdom of God? That's his core. See, we've forgotten that. Somehow in the Protestant church, we don't emphasize that like we should. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 1. Look at 13 and 14 with me. Mark chapter 1. Let's look at this verse together. This is about Jesus. Mark chapter 1, 13 and 14. Mark 1, excuse me, 14 and 15. 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. Look at here. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So right from the start, Jesus begins to say, the heart of my message is the kingdom of God. And young people, do not confuse the kingdom with geographic boundaries. What Jesus is talking about, what he is enunciating here, is the kingdom of God is the kingly reign. Abe, it's the kingly reign of Jesus in your heart and in the social structures of this world. So I now want to shift gears and share with you, if you're thinking about becoming a disciple of Jesus on this morning, I want to share with you just briefly the exciting dimensions of being a part of the kingdom of God and injecting Jesus into the social dimensions you're used to. I begin with this. Are you aware that when Jesus taught and preached, he always used stories? Now think with me. I'm going to let this bottle of water represent propositional truth, statements of fact. Jesus was so shrewd. He knew that if he merely taught in propositions, statements of fact, people would soon forget. So I'm going to put this up here like this. Okay? Here's going to be propositions. So what did he do? Jesus used what we call today parables. From the Greek word parabolein. Para, alongside of, bolein, to throw. So he's going to throw a story alongside of a principle of truth because he knows Herb in his little pea brain will remember stories a lot better than a propositional truth. And I'm going to show you how it works here. So Jesus is going to now, and we'll go to it in a moment, he's going to now talk about if you become invested in the kingdom of God, you will soon discover it grows and grows and grows and grows it throughout the whole globe. If you become a member of God's team, inside of you it grows and grows and grows spiritually. Let me show you. Turn left in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and look with me at verse 31. Just two verses. Matthew 13, and look with me at verse 31. Matthew 13, verse 31. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. A tree, yes, a tree, so that birds come and perch in its branches. Now think with how shrewd he is. In my hand, I couldn't get mustard seeds, but from Carolyn's many things, toasted sesame seeds. I couldn't get mustard seeds. Look at this. I'm going to go like this. Take this lid off. A little saliva. Put it. Oh, my goodness. Lots of seeds in my finger. What's Jesus doing? We're going to knock off all these seeds if I had time, but I don't. I'd knock them all off. Jesus, parable lane, decide to throw. He's going to throw this right up here. This goes down. I eat those lovely seeds. And we don't forget. We don't forget the story. Jesus only had, Ralph, he only had 120. Ralph, you count the Protestant church, the Orthodox church, and our Roman Catholic friends. Millions of Christians in this globe. It's just exploding, this wonderful kingdom of God. You see what he's done? Propositional truth number two. Look down at the next story he's going to tell about the kingdom of God. Look at your scripture. He told them yet another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. In fact, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things since the creation of the world. What's he talking about? He's talking about this. And I take, we're going to throw this from Carolyn's kitchen again, Fleshman's bread machine yeast. I'm not going to taste it. What's he going to do? Down comes the principle. Up comes the story. What's the story? As soon as the kingdom of God invades your life, you should be on a growing perspective. You should be growing and maturing spiritually until it just about takes over your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. You see, stories. Now let's think about the excitement of the kingdom of God within you penetrating the social structures of this world. Some of you, dear mothers, your role this morning is to stay home, some of you do, and you take care of your precious children or grandchildren. Some of you men, women, are business people. Some of you are into publicity. Some of you are bankers. You young people, you're at school. That's a social structure. Some are into the athletics, professional, professional athletics. All these different structures. What's happening? It's this. Jesus is saying, wake up. When you embrace me and become a disciple of mine, I want you to infuse the kingdom principles, the kingdom truths of this Bible into the social structure you're enmeshed in. Do you get it? The excitement? Let me share with you some examples from my own life. I just got through teaching up in Rockford, a wonderful group of nurses. This nurse is her last report. The last report, she says, when I think of the wide variety of people I come into contact with during an average work week in the special care nursery at Swedish American Hospital, I wonder what type of soil each might be and if there is a way for me to make a difference in how the seed, the Word of God, may be received so it may be nurtured to produce an abundant crop, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now I said, yay and amen. That precious nurse got it. She got it. Her ministry is to infuse that hospital with the kingdom of God. We have a relative. He lives in South Africa. Boy, is he sharp. He, when he was elevated, became vice president, think of this, of all the commuter rails in South Africa. If you know anything about countries overseas, you know locomotion is the major way of travel. Not like in America. He's VP. He's working on a president who says to him, I want you to do this. And his heart begins to pound quicker. He knows it's unethical. No, I can't do that. As the days go forward, Pastor, more and more pressure is put on this relative of ours. No, I can't do that. Finally, he resigns and says, can you imagine how much money he would make and the prestige in South Africa? He resigns and he tells his boss, I'm not going to be unethical in my business. What did he do? He infused that whole business with his testimony for Jesus. Are you picking it up? Doesn't matter. Tim Tebow, backup quarterback, New York Jets, outspoken exponent for Jesus with those great athletes. No, it can go on and on. All of these different people. Here's another one. How about education? Say you're a professor, a teacher in high school, junior high, grade school. Here's one. The Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard. Philosopher, University of Southern California. If you ever thought about a secular university, there's one. Here's Dallas Willard, wonderful Christian professor. What's he doing? He's impacting those young people. He's impacting other professors with the gospel of the kingdom of God. I close with this thought. Hear me now. Do you really want to make your life count for Jesus? Do you really want your life to count for something beyond yourself? Do you want to be a change agent? Where? In your family, in your community, in your business, in sports, wherever. Do you? Well, then I invite you to become a disciple of Jesus. And then infuse that area with his kingdom principles. I'm going to illustrate it, my last illustration, with this. Look up here now. Show you how this is done. That's one of the cakes we need. I feel liberal in making them big pieces. How about you? Amen? I knew he'd say that. Got it? Let's let this represent your area, the social structure you're invited in, you're involved in. Politics, newspaper, radio, sports, education, doesn't matter. I want to invite you to become a follower of Jesus, quote, to be saved, this morning. Why? So you can get and invest God's principles in that social structure. Now watch. The neat thing, I haven't totally forgotten that you and I get to go to heaven upon our death, but that, you know what this is? I feel like this is a cooking program. This is the old frosting. I'm going to slather it on there. See this? Wow. I'm going to just slather it on there. Okay? Now, what am I teaching? What am I preaching? When you become a Christian, you're going to inject the principles of Jesus into your particular social structure. And guess what? When you die, the frosting on the cake is eternal life with God, His holy angels, and your loved ones who have made it to heaven. Amen? You understand what's happening here? So here's what we're going to do. I do an altar call a little different. It's going to be twofold, so you can relax and be comfortable. In a moment, I'm going to start on the right side, stand right in front of you, and I'm going to have everybody bow their head. And if you want to become a disciple of Jesus this morning, I'm going to have you look me right in the eye. I won't come to you. I won't call you by name. I would never embarrass you. Just look me in the eye. I'll go here. I'm going to go here. And I'm going to go there. When that's all done, I then am going to invite all of you to come as a group to Jesus, to become a disciple of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to do something courageous today, really different. But this is how Jesus called men and women. Whoever he called to be a disciple, he called them publicly. So you know what I'm going to ask you to do? Come right up here and stand. Just face me. I'll be right here. You just line up right here and face me and say, by God's help today, I'm going to become a disciple of Jesus and invest myself in his kingdom. All right, heads are bowed. Heads are bowed. I'm going to start on my right, your left. If you want to become a disciple of Jesus, if you understand the wonderful, wonderful thing you can do for him and he can do for you, I want you to look me right in the eye. And I'll just be looking right up and down. Just look at me. This is our signal. Yes, Lord. I want to become your disciple, right? Now, this middle section, thank you. Thank you, dear. You look me right in the eye. I'm coming back. I won't embarrass you. Thank you, dear. Anyone else in this section, just look me right in the eye. That's our connection, okay? Now, this middle section, you'll just look me right in the eye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You really want this to be your day of coming into his kingdom. I'm working my way back so I can see you in the darkness. Just look me right in the eye. Okay? And now this section, right over here. Just lift your head. Thank you. Look me right in the eye. Make real good eye contact. Don't be ashamed. Thank you, dear. Thank you. I see you. Others, I'm making my way back now. Just look at me. Thank you, sir. And thank you, ma'am. I see you. Jesus, most of all, sees you. Okay, good. All right. A number of you said, you know what? I want to join his team today. I want to be a part of his kingdom. Now, this is the most courageous part. Someone be a change agent and get up and start walking toward the front, toward Jesus. Others will follow. If you want to be saved, if you want to become a part of the kingdom of God, come as a group right now. That's right. Come on. Come on. Just come and just face me. Just line the front. Just face me. Others, you looked up at me. That's right. You too. Come on. Thank you, sir. Others, that's right. Others, you looked at Pastor. We'll wait one last minute. Isn't this wonderful what God's going to do in your life today? I can just see the joy that Jesus is moving in your hearts. Anyone else? Just one. I'm just going to wait one precious more moment. Okay, now, here's what I want for you. I would like you three to kneel on this side. You folks kneel right here. And just go ahead and kneel. And Pastor and others who know how to pray, I want you to come and put your hand on their back and begin to pray for them, because we're going to pray that God Almighty will help them as they enter into his kingdom. So come on, bring your Bible. A lot of you know how to do this. You know how to pray and love people. Get in front of them if you want to. Deal with them. Let's just pray that they will come into the kingdom of God this morning. Amen. That's right. That's right. for the rest of you. I don't want to detain you. It's 15 after 12. You've been so good. I'm going to pray and release you to go and vote or go home if you'd like. I hope some of you will just stay quietly and pray for those at the altar. But I don't want to hold you over. So let me pray. Those of you who are praying at the altar, you just keep praying now, and God's going to help you enter His kingdom. Now, Jesus, thank you so much for what's happening this morning. The divine transaction of coming and redeeming human beings and inviting them to become your disciples. I pray now that you would help all of these who came forward and those who lifted their eyes to me, may they be still open and receptive to God's ministry in their heart to become a disciple. In the name, the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Feel free to slip out quietly. If you'll visit in the foyer, that would help us. If you'll just visit in the foyer, if you want to sit and remain in prayer, that would be great.